Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 27th of January, recording at 7:29 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Now, this being Friday, this is the big picture long-term outlook for the various asset classes, but first a quick review of the week. Global stock markets, they recovered their nerve this week following the earlier shakeout that we had seen. And they were helped in this recovery by a weaker tone in the crude oil price. But that has not persisted. Now, the move downwards was led by Japan, and it has played an important role in the move back upwards as well. Government bonds, this could be important. They have all broken, at least all of the ones that I look at, government bond prices I'm talking about, have clearly broken the ranging upward trends that we had seen since the November lows. And elsewhere, US dollar ranging, well, a little bit of a rally back to some resistance. Evident, but within an overall downward trend. Not a whole lot going on in the Forex markets, though. But the investors' alternative currencies, those are precious metals, had a pretty good week overall, particularly silver, surging on news that the SEC was moving closer to a decision on a silver ETF. And that it might be, well, expectations that it might be approved, although this is far from certain. Now, in other words, there will be a 21-day period, according to an article that I'm posting today, in which people can put forward their views. But I think there's only going to be one big ante regarding this, and that will come from the Silver Users Association. And elsewhere, well, I mentioned the oil price move. Some of the soft commodities have been fairly strong in here recently, perhaps dragged up by a particularly strong move in industrial metals. Okay, now, let's go back to the big theme stories here. And the one that concerns me most right now is this overall stock market cycle, which is still very, very strong. And I have added, though, that we do see signs that it's quite long in the tooth. And I'll just run through a few of those with you. First, we have seen some diminution of overall upside momentum on some indices, not all by any means, but some of the rises have become a little bit more choppy. And the factors, though, that concern me most, which could end this overall rally, that I think will end this overall rally, are first another oil crisis, and I would put the word crisis in inverted commas. But as I speak right now here today, the crude oil price is up $1.54, trading at $67.80. That has not spooked the markets yet at this stage, and that's good. That shows that there's still demand for stock markets in here, still plenty of liquidity sloshing around the system. But, you know, oil takes out the Katrina highs and goes on towards 80, perhaps even a bit more, and I definitely expect that this year. At some point, that is, this headwind will become, let's say, too strong for the global stock market rally. Another factor, bigger risk in terms of a shock impact on stock markets, would be the possibility of a bond market slump. Now, there are a lot of people around who think that's entirely out of the question and are extremely bullish of long-dated government bonds. Christopher Woods, who's been a bull of the sector all along, is particularly bullish on the basis of deflationary pressures, as you'll see in his report also posted today. I disagree. More on that later. Now, Why might we get a bond market strike? Well, I think it could be due to inflation fears. It could be due to indigestion. It could be due to less foreign buying of U.S. bonds. Those are just some of the factors that could come into play. And when I say indigestion, I'm referring to the vast quantity of new issues that are coming on stream. And it's not just the U.S. government bond market, of course. That's the second factor. The third one, which could weigh on Wall Street and therefore other stock markets in line with the leash effect, is slower GDP growth. Well, we had that in here today. Disappointing figures for the fourth quarter of the U.S. economy, and that would very could very easily should very easily lead on to profit warnings. And you put it all together, and you've got a recipe for stagflation. So those are 5 points that I think are a worry for global stock markets. Then we've got this rally in its 33rd, about to go into the 34th month overall. And I think, given the historic difficulties, or let's put it this way, less bullish performance during the last century. For Wall Street during the second year of a U.S. presidential election term. And against that background, I stick with my best case scenario, which I've repeated many times. And this has been since the October lows, when we got strong upward dynamics off those October lows. I said my best case scenario was that this global stock market rally would carry well into the first quarter of this year. And I was hoping that we'd get a strong move, and we are getting a strong move, because with a strong move, then we of course make greater profits in the short term. We can monitor the charts more easily. And we ought to be able to see evidence of the turn more easily when it occurs. Now, as a practical consideration, and I mentioned this in the last few days, look at the lows that we've seen this week or last week, whichever were lower. And I'm talking now about the stock market indices. As long as those lows hold, we don't need to worry. And that's it, bottom line. In terms of the big picture, and I'm just going to stop this recording here for a second and take a drink of water. In terms of the big picture, the two secular themes that I like most. Veteran subscribers will know them well, but I've had a lot of new subscribers coming on board in recent weeks, and welcome all, and that's very encouraging. And I just wanted to say that of these two big secular themes, or let me take them in sequence. First, supply inelasticity meets rising demand. That applies to the industrial resources. And none more so than the industrial metals, which are really, really strong in here right now. And I maintain that the analysts who monitor this sector have been on the wrong side of the cyclical versus secular debate. And also, I think they have underestimated the difficulty and the cost for mining companies in terms of increasing supply. Meanwhile, demand from China, India, and elsewhere continues to grow apace. And so this is leading to explosive rallies. And I like the actual metals most of all. And this also includes the precious metals, which have the additional bonus of being monetary metals. But they also have the supply inelasticity problems, and of course demand is rising, not least from investors. So this is a very, very powerful theme. And I think as far as the shares are concerned, the mining shares, These I regard as derivatives on the actual metal prices. There are far greater risks with the shares, but again, they can certainly run strongly when they're in fashion, and they are in fashion at the moment. And so that's all good. And I maintain that mining analysts have way underestimated the potential earnings for these wells, for the mining companies, at least, that are well managed, that have the resources and are actually able to mine and sell their metals. And most of the estimates for the profits of these companies are based on an average metal price for 2006 and 2007 that is certainly way below the levels that we see in the markets today. And these metals are still all in overall upward trends. And I think they're going to be rising on and off. The off is punctuated by inevitable cyclical corrections within the secular trend, which can last for a number of well, depending on when the metals get really overextended, as we saw with nickel a couple of years ago, you can get a 18-month, two-year consolidation, but it's within the secular bull market. So very, very strong, powerful theme, and the energy sector is also part of this supply and elasticity meets rising demand theme. Next one's emerging markets. India remains my very favorite. Rate emerging markets in line with governance. And the point I'll make that I made yesterday in Comment of the Day is that I'm buying a China fund, the Atlantis Japan Fortune, no, sorry, the Atlantis China. They also have a Japan fund, but the one I am buying now is the Atlantis China Fortune Fund, and you can see details on that in yesterday's comment of the day. And I'm buying that because it's investing mainly in consumer stocks, and I like the Atlantis Group, and I liked what I saw and heard from the manager, and also I like the chart of the China stock market index, very, very depressed, missed out on most of the terrific 3-year run that we've been seeing. It only bottomed last June after an extended bear market sell-off. And I think sometimes some of the simplest concepts are the most important in terms of markets. Do we really think China would tolerate a weak stock market in the run-up to the 2008 Olympics? I certainly don't. And with a fund that's concentrating on Chinese consumer companies, well, that could be a fairly hot ticket. So thus that purchase, and it ought to be better insulated against the global downturn that I fear during the second and third quarters of this year. If we don't get that downturn, incidentally, as I've said before, that will be due to liquidity. But I think it's probably safer to bet on the downturn. Now, how will I protect myself against that? And the answer is I'll probably mainly hedge short. I'll take out speculative long positions that I have, such as in the Merrill Lynch World Mining Trust. But I'm probably not going to disturb some of my core positions, things in the India fund that I hold and the Thailand fund. I really do like these positions, particularly India, although Thailand's staging a bit of a catch-up move here now. I don't, and I'm not going to disturb my Investec Global Energy fund position. So I think I really want to stay with my resources plays and my emerging market plays. They could well come back fairly sharply if we get a big overall global sell-off, but I could hedge that out by selling F&P futures and other stock market futures in asymmetrical hedges. I've put those on from time to time. Well, I think I've done that. I did that last week. Fortunately, took a very small loss earlier this week, and just a day later, because I saw that the sell-off was not following through. I used that tactic last October, and it was costly, but fortunately not as costly as the additional gains that I've seen subsequently. So that's the way I will most likely play it, is to put on hedge short positions. But what I'm trying to say is that things are getting risky. This is wonderful, the current run that we're actually seeing. Enjoy it while it lasts. Don't expect it to last all that much longer. I do feel that that two-quarter downward move that I described could be a little bit longer, it could be shorter than that, depending on events. But what I will then feel is that that will create an excellent buying opportunity as the Fed and other central banks chop interest rates, and there'll certainly be plenty of liquidity sloshing around the system. Okay, moving on. I don't like the government bond markets, and I maintain that there's much too much supply around. There's one heck of a lot of inflation in the pipeline, and that doesn't mean that we don't still have a big deflationary pocket in terms of global competition and manufacturing, and those costs are also further kept down by technological innovation. But I maintain that the secular bull market in government bonds ended in June 2003, and that we're just seeing predictable top extension, and that these long-dated government bonds are a dangerous investment. Of course, one's sense of danger is dulled in hearing that, because say, well, wait a minute, David's been saying this for quite a while, that they're an accident waiting to happen, but nothing has happened. Yes, but David also said that the top development would most likely be really quite lengthy due to all the fears of deflation that there are out there. Okay. In terms of currencies, I have a bias towards the resources currencies, Canadian dollar, that sort of thing. But I don't think there are going to be any strong currencies in here, so I'm really much less interested in trying to trade any of the currencies, as I've said so many times, that no government wants a strong currency. And the currency of choice for investors, repeat the point I made earlier in this broadcast, is gold and other precious metals. And I think that's pretty much it. I'll just get on with completing the comment of the day, but it's been an exciting week, a very profitable week here overall for my portfolio positions, and therefore I know for portfolio positions that many of you will be holding. And let's hope we get a little bit more of this in the short and perhaps medium term. All the best. Have a splendid weekend.